We're continuing in our Lenten worship series called Questions of Jesus' Last Week. Last week, we looked at a question Pilate asked the crowd. This week, we look at a question Pilate asked Jesus. Listen for God's word from John chapter 18, beginning with verse 28. Then the soldiers and Jewish police took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law." The Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from the world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" They shouted in reply, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. "Riddle me this, Batman." So goes a famous line from the Batman series' infamous character, the Riddler. One of the reasons the Riddler became such a memorable character was his costume. Do you remember? A lime green jumpsuit paired with fiery orange hair and a question mark for a walking stick. Pair that colorful costume with the even more colorful personality of Jim Carrey in Batman Forever, and you do get quite a character. But beyond the crazy costumes or crazy casting, what made him intriguing was the fact that we all love riddles. Like those math puzzles on Facebook or Instagram. If you're like me, you'll rack your brain trying to figure out these brain teasers, and if you're also like me, the answer always seems to come around 3 a.m. Last week we had a riddle. What word or phrase do you get if you rearrange the letters of the word Presbyterians? Fess up. How many of you tried that on your own? I understand that our confirmation class that afternoon told Destiny they knew the answer because she had already taught them. Yet more proof that Destiny does an amazing job as our youth director. Well, we have another riddle for you today. When you came into the sanctuary, you received a pop quiz about our annual report. Wayne Lowry did a great job last week of giving us a brief walkthrough of our annual report and highlighting some of the financial details. There are other details that deserve to be highlighted as well, so we have 10 questions for you about our annual report. Someone said to me earlier they read it but didn't memorize it. Well, good luck. Guess what? This is an open book exam. Why should you bother reading this? Well, for starters, this is an amazing overview about what God is doing in and through this congregation. Our local missions committee report alone covers 2 full pages. Talk about serving others beyond Sunday morning. As if you need more incentive than that, the first person to answer correctly all 10 questions and give me their quiz gets this $20 gift card to Story on the Square. And no, you don't have to tell me if you spend it on a book or something else. That choice is yours. And unfortunately, officers and staff, those who wrote the reports, you are unfortunately disqualified. But if you choose to team up with someone, feed them the answers, and split the winnings, that choice is also yours. We had one gift card for 8:30 and one for 11 because, yes, someone from 8:30 has already filled it out. With that said, good luck. Back to the Riddler. Even without the crazy costumes or crazy casting or the fact that we all love riddles, the Riddler would still be considered one of Batman's most unique enemies. For what was most intriguing about the Riddler was his manner of speaking. He never gave a straightforward answer. He never spoke directly to anyone, be it a friend or foe. Every statement he made came in the form of a riddle. When asked a question, he would answer the question with a question, leaving his listeners to come up with the answer for themselves. In order to understand what the Riddler was saying, you had to be willing to sit with a question until the answer came to you. Our text today seems like a game of riddles. It has not just one Riddler, but several. The game of riddles began when Pilate asked the chief priests what charges they brought against Jesus. When they successfully dodged the question, Pilate moved on to Jesus himself, who gave equally convoluted answers, or so it seemed. When Pilate asked Jesus if he were the king of the Jews, Jesus answered the question with a question. When Pilate asked what Jesus did to have been brought up on these charges, Jesus changed the subject. My kingdom is not of this world. And the game of riddles took yet another twist and turn. Okay, two can play at this game, thought Pilate. You want to talk about kingdoms? Let's talk about kingdoms. So you are a king, Pilate replied. You say that I am a king, Jesus said. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. And then Pilate asked, what is truth? And the conversation abruptly ended. This is one of many scenes in Scripture where I prefer to have heard it firsthand than to have read it, because tone is often lost in reading. What was the tone in which Pilate asked his question? Was he serious? Was he sarcastic? 16th century philosopher Francis Bacon once famously said the following about this scene. What is truth, said jesting Pilate, and would not stay for an answer. Well, no offense to the great philosopher, but I would respectfully disagree. It's not that Pilate didn't stay for an answer, it's that he got the answer he was looking for, so why stay? Pilate got the answer to his question concerning the charges against Jesus, as evidenced by the fact that he went out and told the crowd he found no case against him. Pilate got his answer, but did he get the question? The confrontation here is not only a confrontation between Pilate and Jesus, it's a confrontation between two cultures. Pilate, like us, is a product of Greco-Roman culture, a culture rooted in intellectualism and pragmatism. In the Greco-Roman culture, truth is a function of the mind. Truth finds its expression in the form of propositions and concepts and calculations. First and foremost, truth was something you thought. For Jesus, truth meant something altogether different, something much more holistic. While Pilate represents the culture of the Western world, Jesus represents the Hebrew culture, the culture of the people of the book. In this case, the people of the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. In Hebrew culture, there is no such thing as an intellect that is separate from the rest of the body. Yes, we have a mind by which we think, but we also have emotions by which we feel and a will by which we act. From a biblical understanding, mind, emotions, and will are intimately connected. They cannot be separated. That connection is reflected in the Hebrew understanding of the word truth. The root of the Hebrew word for truth means trustworthy, faithful, reliable. It's the same meaning behind some of our common English phrases like a true friend or people being true to one another. Truth in this sense is not only thought, it is also felt and acted upon. In other words, truth is more descriptive of a person than a proposition. What is truth? Perhaps a better question is, who is truth? Pilate had been asking for the truth behind all these accusations and rumors he'd heard about Jesus. What he didn't realize was that the answer was standing right in front of him in the person of Jesus, the one who was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. The answer to the question, what is truth, is not found in solving a riddle, but in living a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when standing face to face with that opportunity, Pilate walked away. Pilate gets a bad rap for his behavior, and in some ways, rightly so. Yet rather than criticize, perhaps we do better first to sympathize, because in many ways, we are no different than Pilate. When we speak of truth, we often do so on Pilate's terms, not on Christ's terms. Pilate's question is a question that expresses a search of all generations, not only to find truth, but to discover whether there is such truth that can be found. And like Pilate, we sometimes assume truth is nothing more than a collection of facts or beliefs we profess. And we sometimes assume that seeking truth is just about getting pat answers to our questions. Today, we often hear Pilate's question phrased, is there truth, or is truth all relative? Today, truth seems to be determined by how many likes something gets on Facebook or how many retweets it gets on Twitter. Many of us have seen the State Farm commercial about the woman who tells her friend that they can't put anything on the internet that isn't true. And then she introduces her friend to her boyfriend whom she met on the internet, and the internet said he was a French model. The boyfriend walks up, and he's no more of a French model than you and I are. But she read it on the internet, so it has to be true, right? The commercial is meant to be a joke, but unfortunately, as we know, for many, it's not a joke. 2 years ago, there was a college graduate from my alma mater who was charged with starting a fictitious political news website. Many were shocked by his actions and the fact that even when he admitted what he did, he didn't see anything wrong with it. What to me was equally shocking was how many people believed and circulated the articles, assuming they had to be true, or perhaps even wanting them to be true, because the articles provided easy answers to their questions or proved their own political assumptions correct. Like Pilate, we are a product of our culture. We speak of truth on our culture's terms, not on Christ's terms. We think of truth as propositions we can hang our hat on and say we believe, even if that belief doesn't extend beyond our heads into a lived belief. We want truth that is easy and convenient, truth that doesn't require much of us in return. In fact, let's give Pilate some credit. At least he asked, what is truth? Many of us don't ask the question because we don't want to know the answer. What is truth when our ethics boil down to moral hair-splitting or wordsmithing? What is truth when we value being nice over being honest? What is truth when we think what we say and what we do don't necessarily have to be the same thing? And what is truth when we don't care? It seems the question, what is truth, is a question we ask when truth is the very last thing we want to hear. We don't want to hear the bad stuff about ourselves, yet we do in any other situation. Pastor and author John Ortberg shares the following analogy. He says, imagine picking up your car from the shop after a routine tune-up. The mechanic says, your car is in great shape. Clearly, you have an automotive genius taking care of your car. Later that day, your brakes don't work. You find out you were out of brake fluid and you could have died in an accident. You go back to the shop and you say, why didn't you tell me? The mechanic responds, well, I didn't want you to worry or get upset when I told you the cost. I want this to be a place where you think everything's going according to plan. You'd be furious. You'd say to the mechanic, I didn't come here for a little fantasy-based ego boost. When it comes to my car, I want the truth. Or Erdberg says, imagine going to the doctor's office for a checkup. The doctor says to you, you are a magnificent physical specimen. You have the body of an Olympian. You ought to be congratulated. Later that day, while climbing the stairs, your heart gives out. You find out later that your arteries were so clogged, you were one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. You go back to the doctor and say, why didn't you tell me? The doctor responds, well, I know your body is in worse shape than the Pillsbury Doughboy, but if I tell people stuff like that, they kind of get offended, and sometimes they don't come back, and it's just not good for business. I want this to be a place, a safe place, where you always feel loved and accepted. You'd be furious. You'd say to the doctor, when it comes to my body, I want the truth. When it comes to our houses, our cars, our bodies, we want the truth. When it comes to our hearts, our behaviors, our relationships, our integrity, do we want the truth just as much? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The question, what is truth, speaks not just to our weaknesses and failures. Perhaps it speaks most directly to our strengths and our abilities. A few years ago, my small group and I were talking one night about a quote from author Marianne Williamson, a quote later used by Nelson Mandela in his inaugural address. Williamson wrote, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. In response to Williamson's words, one member of the group shared a great insight. She said, we can wrap our head around our darkness, but we will hide our light to stay safe. Sometimes we're afraid to acknowledge the gifts God has given us because with knowledge comes responsibility and accountability. If we admitted the great gifts we've been given and recognized how they could be used to meet the great needs of the world, and by the way, that's how Frederick Buechner defines calling. The place where your greatest joy and the world's greatest need intersect. If we admitted our greatest joys and the great gifts we've been given, and if we acknowledge these could be used to meet the great needs of the world, what might that mean for us? What might that require of us? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. With knowledge, with truth comes knowledge and responsibility. With truth also comes freedom. What holds you back from the truth of God's path for you? Is it your darkness or your light? Which is your deeper fear? As Jesus says, it's a question that affects not only us as individuals. It's a question that affects how we demonstrate God's kingdom to the world. In explaining what his kingdom was and was not, Jesus said that if his kingdom were of this world, his disciples would have risen up and fought to keep him from being arrested. In other words, the truth of Christ's kingdom can be seen in the behavior of his disciples. What does our behavior say about God's kingdom? What is our behavior, not only what we think about God's truth, but the way we act on and live it out in the world? What does our behavior say about the kingdom? Because we are children of God. Our playing small does not serve the world. We've been asking a lot of questions the past few weeks, more questions than answers. Some of us don't like to ask questions. I worked at a summer camp when I was in college, and sometimes when we didn't understand why we had to do something, we'd simply say, I don't know, I don't ask any questions, I just work here. That may be an okay response in some work situations, but in life, if we really want to grow, we have to ask questions. We also have to be willing to wait for the answer. Some of us don't like to ask questions. Most of us don't like unresolved questions. Like Pilate, we want an immediate answer so we can move on. Pilate did move on. He thought he got his answer, so he walked away. But Jesus stayed. Notice that in the midst of all these questions Jesus encountered in his last week, others walked away from their questions. But Jesus didn't walk away from the question. Nor does Jesus walk away from any of our questions. Notice something else as well. Jesus didn't walk away, he stayed, and yet he still didn't answer the question. As if to suggest truth is found sometimes not in answers, but in the questions themselves. What is truth? Jesus didn't answer the question because he already had. He said, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Whatever questions are on our hearts today, the answer isn't found in a resolution. It's found in a relationship. A relationship where we listen, to Jesus and to others who belong to him. What are the questions you face today? Don't settle for the quick and easy answer. Stay with the question. Brave the question. Brave both the dark side and the light side of the question. And listen to him, trusting that in his time he will show you what is true. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand to affirm what we believe, using the familiar words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us not just say them, but think them and commit to living them. Christian, in whom do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.